You're listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
July the 30th, 2019. We have several issues to catch up on. First, some brief housekeeping. Thanks to Paul Brown for filling in for me the last time as I was not on the air. And also, I'd made some remarks on Facebook regarding some changes coming to this program, some major changes involving another station, a better signal, a better slot, a daytime slot. It's going to be all official tomorrow. I will get into more details the second hour. I'm not trying to tease you. It's just that I really, that would be self-serving, so I'd rather hold it for the second hour. And if you're interested, you'll hear it or you'll pull it up on the podcast later, because I've got a lot of material for us to cover at this point. And I will, by the way, read some of those remarks coming in on Facebook once I made note of some changes coming. And I'll flesh out more details. It is definitely going to be good. How quickly... I owe, of course, responsibility here for a period of time yet. I like to part on good terms, and so we'll work that through, and then I can get more details out to you. But I can cover enough of it tonight that you'll have an idea. Basically, it's going to be a 1 to 3 p.m. slot. Correction, 11 to 1 slot, which would be right up against Rush Limbaugh, and might be extended 11 to 2. I'm looking forward to that little battle. That'll be at 1010 KXEN, and hopefully also at WGNU 920 simulcasting. Barry Broadcasting buying those two stations, and again, I'll get more details in the second hour to you. So here's what we've got coming up this program in the next 2 hours. The debate is underway again with the Democrats, and they're biting at the bit to call Trump a racist, but they're dancing around it. Every once in a while, they'll slip in and say it, because that's the thing they can really hone in on, and they think they can make some points. But I think we have pushed back so many times on them playing the racist card that they're kind of stymied. They're not getting to fire the best ammunition. They think that would really be good. But then again, yeah, you know, even as Congressman Bill Clay of Missouri had said when Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I was saying, was attacking Nancy Pelosi, he was upset you would call Nancy Pelosi a racist. He said, when you have to play the race card, you have nothing else. You have no argument, no validity to your argument. Boy, is that not true. That's so true. And yet it continues to be played. We'll get into that. And, of course, a lot of it had to do with Congressman Cummings and his city, Baltimore. And he says Trump is a racist because of what he said. Trump said nothing racist. We'll get into that in more detail. And we'll take a closer look at what is the issue in Baltimore. And then they're doing a live TV shot in Baltimore. And what happened behind the camera? you could not have planned it. You could not have planned it better. And also Trump and Al Sharpton are sparring, squaring off. One calling the other a racist and one responding back. You can figure that one out. And in the second hour before we wrap up this evening, we're going to talk about the Democrats and their lack of diversity, and yet they will tell you we're all about diversity. They're not. And then you want to hear what a North Carolina gun shop put up on a billboard. We have a lot to cover. Now, before we go to the break, the debates, new debates, tonight and again tomorrow, are in Detroit. I watched the beginning of it. The Detroit choir came out and sang America the Beautiful. My gosh, it was beautiful. So filled with passion. talking about God and this country. God bless him. I mean, it was absolutely amazing and uplifting. And then later they posted the flags. That's when they bring out the U.S. flag. And, of course, they brought out the Michigan flag and a couple others they brought out. And the audience was asked to stand for the posting and remain standing for our pledge. That's right. They said, stand for the posting of the U.S. flag and remain standing for our pledge and national anthem. Every candidate, from what I saw, had hand over heart. In every shot I saw, every candidate made sure the hand was over the heart. It appeared many in the audience did not, but I didn't see anyone kneeling. I didn't see any of the candidates dropping to one knee. I mean, they have just basically said, Kaepernick, we're done with you. This is too important. We have to make sure the American people know that we love America, even if they're posturing and posing. But they follow the script. Nobody was yelling out in the audience while the national anthem was being sung. No candidate tried to sing it. But at the same time, they stood solemn, respectful. So going into this debate tonight, there were some numbers that came out. Let me share these quickly with you. As I said, I've got so much to cover tonight. I've got 2 hours for this program. I just never have enough time. New numbers out of Michigan. As they got ready to host this second primary debate, a new poll out of Michigan released by Climate Nexus shows that former Vice President Joe Biden is dominating his fellow 2020 Democrats. Biden taking first place, 35%. Biden's nearest challenger, Bernie Sanders, and he was far behind with only 16%. Warren behind him at 14%. Now, Sanders and Warren were on stage tonight. Biden will be on stage tomorrow night, along with Kamala Harris. But tonight it was the Biden and Sanders show. I'm sorry, not Biden. Sanders and Pocahontas show. Elizabeth Warren. But I'm going to tell you, watching it and as I'm preparing the program, almost every time I looked up, Bernie's raising his hand and saying something. And I'm thinking, they're really giving him a lot of extra time. And she got all inflamed at one point and started shouting. And some of the others seemed to be more reserved. But Bernie and Warren trying to outdo each other, trying to come up with, what else can we come up? What can we present? And here's something else. Several of the candidates tonight began to say, yeah, we cannot simply decriminalize illegals. One of them wanted to say, well, if they come into our country illegally and break a law, then they should be a criminal. If they come in the country illegally, that's breaking a law, you idiot. But beyond that, they were questioning about free health care for all, and a couple of them admitted that's impossible. You can't do it. And then the other part, those who said we're going to have free health care for all, finally had to admit, because tonight the hosts were doing a pretty good job questioning, had to admit, yeah, there will be some tax increases for some in the middle class. Yeah. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
You're listening to Larry Connors USA. To call in locally, dial 314-821-0590. Dial 314-821-0590. Dial 314-821-0590.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
You're listening to Larry Connors, USA. To call in locally, dial 314-821-0590. Dial 314-821-0590. Dial 314-821-0590.
All my friends know the low rider. The low rider is a little higher.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Here is your red meat. All of this noise about Trump and Cummings because President Trump made a remark about Elijah Cummings, Baltimore, and what's happening in Baltimore. It's well-documented crime, poverty, rodent despair problems. And immediately they pull out the race card. He's challenging a black congressman. That has to be racist. He never said word one, not word one, about the congressman's color. Nor did he mention anything about the color of the Baltimore residents. He said they should have better conditions. And he said, and here you are despairing and making up stories about kids in these shelters at the Rio Grande area, and you want it to appear that we, this nation, are abhorrent and treating these kids miserable. Why don't you go back to your community and walk down your streets and see what's happening there? He didn't say walk down the street, but I would. In fact, I would ask, when is the last time Elijah Cummings ever walked down the street of some of his districts? How much would you want to bet? Did he drive through in his limousine? Well, he might have. Did he get out and walk the walk and smell the air and step over what's in the street or dodge the rats? Probably not. That's where my bet would be. But Trump was not saying anything racist. He's simply saying, look at your, take care of your city. And the other thing about Cummings, he made such a big deal the other day. He said, we got kids in these centers, babies sitting in their own poop. If you've ever raised a child, you know there are times they're sitting in their own poop before you realize they've done anything. When you pick up a smell, you realize, oh, I need to do something here. But then you might be a little bit too busy. You don't get to it right away. Now, if you're going to continue to ignore it, yeah, that needs to be dealt with because we don't want the child to have a rash lead to an infection. But when I saw Cummings saying that, I thought, I'm willing to bet that as a child, he probably a couple times had to sit in his own. My dad always had a great idea. I did not know this for years later. He said, I never had to change a diaper on you kids. I never changed one diaper. I said, how did you do that, Dad? I mean, there were four of us. He said, well, I'd carry you around and hold you, and if I began to smell something, I would pass you off to your mom because you'd be crying and upset. And I'd say, I don't know what's wrong with this child. And she'd take us and say, well, look what they did in their pants, Charlie. That's what they did. He said, oh, okay. So he never changed a diaper. So it happens. Does that mean we should just ignore the kids down there? No. But they're not being held in cages. They're not being deprived. They're being treated better there than they were in the country they left. But here comes Elijah Cummings. And now what's he saying about Trump? Who does he blame for the problems he has in Baltimore? Trump. Gonna blame Trump. That's right. It's Trump's fault that conditions are bad in Baltimore. You know what last year Baltimore got in federal grants for just last year? $16 billion. That's with a B. $16 billion. What happened to that money? What happened to that money? And here's a guy who's represented Baltimore for 36 years, 13 years as a state representative, 23 years in the U.S. Congress. Since 87, Baltimore's had only one mayor who was not black. That does not mean it has to go one way or the other, but it's just indicative of what might be happening and what happens to the money. Is the money being spent where it should? Is it being spent to help the people? It is the sixth poorest city in the country, the most dangerous city in America, according to some, the highest murder rate in America, the ninth rattiest city in America. We'll get into more of that a little bit later, because we're going to touch on this all over again in the second hour. But here comes the Baltimore mayor, who said Trump should quit criticizing and send federal assistance. Send federal assistance. The mayor's budget already spending $66 million in federal grants this year, and $16 billion was actually designated in federal dollars. Where is it going? What are they doing with it? In fiscal 2019, the government is providing $30 million just for the renovation of city streets, highways, traffic engineering projects. Federal fund appropriations, $1 million for general services, $2 million for youth violence prevention, $8 million for housing community development, $29 million for HIV treatment for the uninsured. But if you have a problem in Baltimore, it's got to be Trump. It's got to be Trump because he's racist. It's got to be his fault. There was a report that was put together by Greg Gutfeld of Fox News. And he said, wasn't it just the other day that Trump attacked New York City, Bill de Blasio, also racist? He said, the BBC, you had to call it racist because it said in a documentary, if you want to know what poverty in America looks like, this is it. It was featuring Baltimore. Incredibly, this entire block here is pretty much made up of dilapidated, abandoned houses. Incredibly, some people still living in between this. That was on the BBC about Baltimore. In a 2018 tour of the city, the then mayor, Catherine Pugh, said, what the hell, she'd just take all this stuff down. You can smell the rats. You can smell the dead animals. But it's got to be Trump's fault. And there's another city, a major newspaper, that's calling out Baltimore and saying, it's on your shoulders. It's not Trump. It's not the administration. It's you. Please stand by.
You're listening to Larry Connors USA on 590 The Fan.
John Bill Roofing paying out $10,000 cash. The money goes to the top three winning teams of the World Record Washer Tournament, October 13th at the St. Charles Family Arena. They're trying to get the most players ever at the same time, setting a world record. Bring the family. Enjoy a car show, barbecue contest, live music. All proceeds go directly to the USO of Missouri. Register usoday.com. usoday.com.
You are listening to Larry Connors USA. To call in locally, dial 314-821-0590. Dial 314-821-0590. Dial 314-821-0590. Whoa.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So, of course, President Trump the other day tweeted about the rat infestation and violent crime in Baltimore, telling Elijah Cummings, congressman, rather than complaining about what's happening at the border, why don't you go back to your city in Baltimore, walk through the neighborhood. He didn't say that. I'm saying go back and see what's going on and fix that. Very much as he addressed the four women. Oh, I guess I'm supposed to add of color, new freshman congresswomen, and told them to go back where they came from. Now, I will repeat again. All the first three of them, I should say, are U.S. citizens born here, native. One became a U.S. citizen after coming from Somalia, Omar. But they're all U.S. citizens. And, of course, he later said, well, I may go back to your cities, your states, and fix that. There's no sense going back over that over and over again. I do believe a lot of folks thinking he was saying go back to some other country. But beyond that, the issue is very clear. If you don't love this country, then why don't you leave? And it's not a matter of having a difference of opinion and disputing and debating. It's when you tear it down, rip it apart, try to shame it, and call out anyone that does not agree with you, a racist or a Nazi or something of that nature, which is what they do. So when Trump made his remarks to Congressman Elijah Cummings, immediately here they came. Racist, 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 racist. Said nothing about race, not one thing. And in fact, if nothing else, he's trying to improve the lot for the minority citizens in Baltimore. So here comes the editorial page editor of the Detroit News. He said there is an upside to Trump's recent tweets. He said this gives Democrats an on-ramp to talk about urban decay. Like in Detroit, 70,000 abandoned buildings still standing. Black ownership being reduced to 40% from 51% since 2000. This is the Detroit News. And the editor added, Detroit and Baltimore are not twin cities by any stretch, but they share similar characteristics, the same challenges that face most big cities in America, which, by the way, I would add, and they're both run by Democrats and have been for decades. Goes on to say there's no better place to discuss those struggles than in Detroit. 57% of children live below the poverty line. A rate of 2,057 violent crimes per 100,000 ranks Detroit as the second most violent city in America. The former Detroit City Council and CEO of Citizen Detroit, a civic engagement group, said in the same column, there needs to be an urban agenda as part of this Democrat campaign currently, but when's the last time you heard anything about an urban agenda? That's become a swear word in Washington. What he's saying and what she's saying is pretty much what Trump had said. You've been living under the Democrat-controlled urban plantation, and they haven't done a thing for you. They're keeping you right where they got you because they can use you there, bring you around to the polls to vote, send you back home and give you promises, and you won't get anything. A little bit of here, a little bit of there. Well, there's a new survey out. Let me pull this one up for you. This came out. Let me make sure I got it right. I like to double-check these facts. This one was today, this morning. And it's a Quinnipiac survey. 51% of those surveyed believe Trump is racist. 80% of black Americans surveyed believe he's racist. Now stop there. 80% of black Americans believe he's racist. Does that mean 20% think he's not? Or some undecided? I don't know. I'm not trying to formulate anything. But what I did see also in the same survey is that 6% of those surveyed like what he's doing for the minority community. He is lowering unemployment at every minority category. He is trying to get more money into the inner cities to help them. But what's happening to it once it goes into the hands of the hacks that control each of those cities? I would think, my friend, that the citizens are being raped a couple of times or more, as you've got some politicians and their friends and colleagues and their nonprofit groups sucking up a lot of that money. But let's talk about the Baltimore murder rate. There's an analyst from Princeton Policy Advisor that reveals, based on the current rate of murders in Baltimore, Baltimore's murder rate for 2019 will come in at 56 murders per 100,000, making it more than twice as dangerous as the entire country Guatemala. To date, there have been nearly 200 murders in Baltimore since the beginning of the year. Now stop and think about it. The murder rate in Baltimore, Maryland, is higher than one of Central America's most dangerous countries. El Salvador had a murder rate of 50 murders per 100,000. That's still lower than Baltimore, despite the violent MS-13 gangs. Honduras, a murder rate of 38. Baltimore, 56. So I guess it's got to be Trump's fault again, right? You know, nothing's going to be done and accomplished and make things better until folks quit pulling the race card and actually start dealing with it. And Trump is right. Whether you like him or not, the facts are right. Why are you going down to the border and complaining about and making up conditions about the children in these centers when you know it's not true? But more importantly, you know the facts, or you should know the facts, of your own backyard, your own city, and you're ignoring them. It goes back, by the way, in my opinion, to the remarks of Senator Durbin of Illinois, maybe a year plus ago. He said, I'm going to make illegals my priority. And I'm thinking, really? Your state is overtaxing your people, going to hell in a handbasket, and you're more worried about the illegals, you're going to make them the priority? Why not make the priority those in Chicago who need better schools, better police protection? But I see illegals as my pathway to more votes, because I'm counting on those already living here to go ahead and vote for me anyway. And that's where the break is coming. A lot of them are saying, you know what? We're going to start thinking for ourselves. We may not like Trump, and we may not like any particular Democrat candidate this time, but we're going to decide on order. We're no longer going to be shackled to the Democrat Party. There will be most of them that will stay with the party. And maybe because they really believe in it, and maybe they think, well, this time around it'll be better. But more and more, they're stepping away. And they may not be Trump supporters, but the Democrats are driving them away. They're driving them away about the abortion issue. Many black families are not in favor of abortion. The pastors are not in favor of abortion. It's genocide. And that's what Margaret Sanger intended when she first came up with this and said we need to cut some of the weeds, basically. And the idea was to get rid of some of those. They were not going to contribute that much. And unfortunately, at that point, the focus was on minority Americans, primarily black. And yet I watched them tonight. I watched them tonight at the beginning of the debate praise and say the Democrat Party proudly stands for women's rights, and they got the applause, all the applause, and for Planned Parenthood. Of all the women on that stage tonight, if their mother had wanted to exercise that right for her body, they would not be standing there. The same for the men. Oh, I mentioned this earlier. Baltimore, a reporter is doing a live shot, Fox 45 yesterday, from West Baltimore's Sandtown Winchester neighborhood. And residents concede that Trump's remarks about the city's worsening conditions are true. I mean, they were acknowledging, yeah, it's bad here. I mean, you know what? It's not safe. Nothing's being done. We're living in this stuff, and nobody's taking care of us. It's not true. And they want, of course, the mayor wants to say, Trump needs to send more money. The money you've been sent, what did you do with it? And the more money you're going to have, what are you going to do with it? That is your, you want control of your city, do you not? You want Trump to control your city? The moment he talks about sending in troops in some city to bring peace and calm, they immediately say, no, not in our city. We don't need it. We can do it ourselves. But you're not. And these rat-infested places exist in numerous cities, not just Baltimore. We all know that. But there are areas that have been bad and have been cleaned up. and that includes some in Democrat cities. But the situation now in most Democrat cities is not good, is not improving. Nancy Pelosi, when is the last time you and Dianne Feinstein, walked the streets of San Francisco, past all the feces in the homeless tents? They don't do it, my friend. They don't do it. They live behind their barriers and their moats at their mansions. And in fact, many times they don't really live in the district. If it's not that good, they have a house there that they maintain, quote, as a residence, but they live much better. But anyway, while this reporter is doing this report, behind the reporter showing all this trash, a rat suddenly comes running through. A rat running right through the you could not have planned it better. But of course, it's got to be Trump and his racist attitude. Which brings us to the royal battle between Trump and Sharpton. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
You're listening to Larry Connors USA on 590 The Fan.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Donald Trump and Al Sharpton have been pals in the past. They've been well acquainted for 25 years. Trump sometimes showed up at Al Sharpton's events. As he says, I went to fights with him and Don King. Always got along fine. At that time, he would ask me for favors. And then said, but Al is a con man, a troublemaker, always looking for a score, just doing his thing. He hates whites and he hates cops. That's all because Sharpton went after Trump after he made remarks about Elijah Cummings' lack of interest in dealing with Baltimore. Now, it is not the congressman's specific duty to take care of each city and neighborhood, but if you've got a city in your midst that's torn down and in such drastic situation, should you as a congressman not step in and do more for it? And that's what Cummings has not been doing. And the issue with the mayors that have been in charge, well, they have had a big problem with that. Three previous mayors resigning under a cloud of scandal. So they've had horrendous leadership in the city of Baltimore. But the fact that Trump slammed Cummings, it suddenly became a racist issue. And here came Al Sharpton, because he wants to throw his in there, too. He wants to point out that Trump is racist. In fact, Sharpton put out a quote. Let me find this for you. He put out a picture immediately after Trump started turning his guns on Sharpton, because Sharpton was attacking him. He put out a picture of Trump with him, Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, and James Brown. Said Trump, 2006, telling James Brown and Jesse Jackson why he respects my work. Different tune now. And Sharpton has a different tune now, does he not? See, Sharpton was loving Donald Trump when he was, one, a Democrat, and two, he was giving money to anything Al Sharpton came along and said, hey, I could use this, I could use that. Money was making everything okay. That raises a lot of questions, doesn't it, about the principles of Al Sharpton? But I'm going to leave that to you. I'm not going to judge him. But I will tell you this, there are others that have no love lost, and they don't mind calling him out. Ed Koch, I should say, which used to be a New York City mayor, looked at Sharpton as a racial ambulance chaser. He called him Al Charlatan. If you recall, in the 80s, by the way, Sharpton took part in a shameful hoax involving a black teenager, Tawana Brawley. She claimed she was gang raped by six white men. It turned out to be a total fabrication, absolutely exposed, even by the New York Times. Sharpton never apologized for promoting the fabrication. During that same time, he charged that defendants in a racially charged murder case in Brooklyn were acquitted. Angry blacks might burn the city down. New York City Post quoted that. The publisher of the Black Weekly, the City Sun, Andrew Cooper, had written Sharpton, quote, was a hustler, and that most middle-class black people are embarrassed by him. Alfred is the perfect black leader for white people because he validates their racism. You know, Sharpton also at one time was indifferent about revelations that he worked as an FBI informant. He even secretly taped conversations with other blacks, allowing prosecutors to wiretap his phone. Sharpton was charged and acquitted of stealing $250,000 in charitable donations to the National Youth Movement and with evading taxes. And in 1995, he was widely blamed as contributing to firebombing of a Jewish-owned business in Harlem. They were going to move it. And he said, we will not stand by and allow them to move this so some white interloper can expand here. That fire killed seven. Now, can you put all that on Sharpton's back? No. But if you're going to judge Trump in one way on his remarks and so forth, you need to reconsider what Sharpton has said in the past, incendiary and also racist on his own. But as I said, Trump was never called a racist until he went to the Republican side, became president, and said, we need to change our open borders policy and start enforcing the law. And now they call him a racist constantly. But take note of this. Take note of this. The New York Times reporting this story and pointing out some medals that were presented in 1986 to Rosa Parks, Muhammad Ali, and Donald Trump, and others. Trump was a recipient of the Ellis Island Medal of Honor, awarded, honored for helping provide for inner city black youth. But he's a racist. He is I got somebody else coming up in a moment that's going to tell you he's clearly a racist. Please stand by.
You can follow Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA at Larry Connors USA.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer and can save you a lot of unnecessary fear. One client called frantic. A test sample for an indoor swimming pool showed evidence of Legionella bacteria. Well, that meant the entire pool would have to be drained, then washed with acid. But Wellington Environmental found the pool was safe. The test sample was a false positive. In another case, a homeowner said a buyer had just backed out of a closing. The building inspector claimed he had found evidence of mold in a closet. That could be scary. Could certainly cost the deal. Wellington Environmental found it was not mold. It was traces of asphalt from the wheels of a suitcase. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, of course, you always want to know what the Hollywood elite have to say because everything they say sways you in your opinion, and they are the sounding board for what's happening in our nation. I mean, if you don't hear from Hollywood, you're lost. You don't know what's going on. And, of course, the vast, vast majority of them are not just liberal, but far, far left liberal. The ones that endorse Sanders' Medicare for All. And, you know, during that debate, by the way, tonight, one of the candidates flat out said, look, we can't keep going down this path. We need to find a way that's going to get us elected. You can't continue to make all this pie-in-the-sky promises. It's not going to work for us. And yet another one, I want to say it's Mayor Pete said it. I may be wrong. He said, well, we don't care what the Republicans say. If we drop some of our plans for Medicare for All and all these things we want to see done, they'll still say we're leftists, we're liberals. He said, so we might as well be what we say we are. Yeah, that kind of got a couple of the others like, be careful here. But here comes filmmaker, left-wing activist Rob Reiner. You remember him best, maybe, from Archie Bunker. That's right, Meatball. Meathead, I'm sorry. Pete put out on his tweet that he's dedicated almost entirely to attacking Trump and the current administration. Not just that Donald Trump is a racist. Listen closely here. It's not a matter of Donald Trump being a racist in his opinion. You're the next in line. Here's what he says. The president of the United States is a racist. He made it abundantly clear his reelection is based on white nationalism. There's no such evidence, but that's his interpretation. Reiner adds, if you support him, there can be no distinction between you being a racist and a racist enabler. They're all the same. So, if you're a Trump supporter, or you voted for him, or you think you might vote for him, you're a racist. In fact, everybody's a racist, regardless of which side you're on right now, wouldn't you say? The 72-year-old Reiner wanted to claim that Trump's mind is infested with lies and bigotry. Racism, misogyny, lies, bigotry, and hate. This is a guy that sounds like he's got a lot of hate, don't you think? There is nothing in anything he's presenting backed up by any evidence. But the details and the facts don't matter. If you just tell the lie over and over and over again, they will eventually absorb it. Even if they don't believe it, maybe they don't understand it, they just, well, he's a racist. And that means now you are too. Yeah, here's a perfect example, by the way, of what Trump is doing that's a racist. I'm calling this out now. This is another clear indication that Trump is a racist. You can mark this down. Larry Connors called Trump out for being a racist because of who he's supporting for the Kentucky Attorney General in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Donald Trump is, of course, going with a Republican against a Democrat. That's okay. We understand that. But Trump says about this guy, he's tough on crime, strong on borders, will fight for our Second Amendment. He will never let you down. He has my full and complete endorsement. Of course he's going to endorse a Republican white candidate. Wait a minute. He's talking about Daniel Cameron, who's standing right beside Trump in the Oval Office. And Daniel Cameron is a black conservative. So Trump's a racist because he's nominating Cameron. Or, more importantly now, based on what Rob Reiner says, Daniel Cameron is a racist because he's taking Trump's endorsement and support. Oh, and Cameron is buying into it full time. I mean, he really bit into the racist bullet. He thanked Trump for his support, said, thank you, Donald Trump, for your support and your endorsement. He had hashtag MAGA. He said, I'm honored to stand with you in fighting the drug epidemic and illegal immigration. And then shared a photo of the printout of the president's tweet autographed by Trump. The man has no shame. Listen, your color should not make any difference, should it? On one side or the other. And it only makes a difference when the left wants to call it out and call you names because you don't agree with them. So I guess Daniel Cameron, black as he is a racist because he supports Trump. Is there any justification, any understanding of that? There's not. There's not, and that's the problem. And we're never going to get past this issue as we continue to use it as a battering ram against people just because we have a disagreement with them. Second hour coming up, we're going to talk about the diversity inside the Democrats. I mean, they want you to believe we're really diversified. Ain't so. Ain't so, and we're beginning to see it come apart at the seams. Oh, and Rand Paul's also a racist. We'll get into that. And I'll spend some more time talking about some coming changes to this radio show, which I know you're going to like. It's going to be a lot better. It's going to be a win-win for us, my friend. We'll begin with news and commentary next hour.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.